So after inspiring us with pointing out the benefits of attaining, of generating bodhicitta, then Shantideva goes into how to prepare for taking the bodhisattva vow and engaging in the bodhisattva deeds. So in chapter 2 of his books, he spends time talking, you know, making prostrations to the three jewels, making offerings to them. And then the third thing he does is dwell on confessing our past negativities. So I find this part very important, because if I look back in my life, you know, I've created a lot of negativity through ignorance, anger, attachment, selfishness, and so on. And until I really own my negative actions and purify them, then they're going to continue to weigh on my heart. And I think a lot of the psychological problems that people have nowadays often come because we haven't acted in a way that corresponds to our own ethical code. We feel bad about it. We spend time justifying it and blaming others. And it leads to a kind of malaise, psychological malaise and depression. And for me, I found that when I'm able to own my negativity and then regret it, make a determination not to do it again, generate a positive attitude towards those that I have harmed, and do some kind of remedial action. You know, when I do those four things, the regret, determination not to do it again, changing my attitude towards whom I harmed, and a remedial action. When I do those four, then it enables me to put down my negativity instead of it always being there at the back of my mind, kind of saying, you know, you did this and it's not so good, and you don't want, you know, I don't want to let anybody else know how awful I've acted, and if they really know how awful I've acted, nobody would like me. And all that kind of psychological stuff, you know, is such a hindrance on the path. You know, putting ourselves down and feeling shame and guilt and so on. So I think just confessing, you know, and doing something to purify these actions, it enables us to put these things down and then go forward in our life with a good intention, yeah? But, of course, to generate this kind of regret and do the purification process, you know, we need to learn how to be honest with ourselves. So that's what the next part in Chapter 2 deals with. So Shantideva says, "With folded hands, I beseech the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who possess the great compassion and reside in all directions." So he's going to now confess. "Throughout beginningless cyclic existence, in this life and in others, unknowingly I committed evil deeds and ordered them to be done by others. So motivated by my own ignorance, which has given birth to my attachment and anger and arrogance and jealousy and lack of integrity and so on, then I've done a lot of mistaken actions. This does not mean I'm a bad person." Okay, so this is something very, very important for us to understand. We have to separate the actions and the person. The actions may be negative. The person is never evil. Okay, why? Because the person has the Buddha nature. The person has the potential to become fully awakened. So the person can never be evil. We cannot call somebody evil, sign them off, throw them in the garbage, and forget about them. The actions we can say are negative. Okay, so this is quite important, no matter whether we're talking about others or even ourselves. Yeah. So yes, we've made mistakes, but we should not put ourselves down. Yeah, and say, I'm so awful, I'm hopeless, I'm irredeemable. If people only knew, nobody would talk to me. You know, all this kind of rubbish, because that's just a big hindrance. Okay. Overwhelmed by the deceptions of ignorance, I rejoiced in what was done. But now seeing these mistakes from my heart, I declare them to the Buddha. Okay, so we're looking honestly at our works, at our own actions. I've done negative actions. I've asked other people or encouraged other people to do them. And I've also rejoiced when I see other people do negative actions. Yeah. So I'm owning all of this. I'm not going to cover it up. Whatever harmful acts of body, speech, and mind I have done in a disturbed mental state towards the three jewels of refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, my parents, my spiritual masters, and others, and all the grave wrongs done by me, so thoroughly negative and polluted, but an abundance of faults, I openly declare to the guides of the world. In other words, to the Buddhas. Okay? So we're not going to hide anything. We're going to be fully transparent, and we're going to be okay being transparent. Okay? So, you know, we're imagining that we're sitting in the presence of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. You know, these beings have more compassion for us than we have for ourselves. We can trust them. So we're just opening up, being fully transparent. I'm not justifying and rationalizing and excusing and blaming and all my usual things to cover up what I've done. I'm just owning it. Being transparent, being honest with myself in the presence of the holy beings, knowing that I can trust them. Okay, he continues, but I may well perish before all my negativities have been purified. So please protect me in such a way as will swiftly and surely free me from them. So we're realizing that, you know, we've had negativities created in our beginning's rebirth. It's going to take us a while to purify. And we don't know how long we're going to be alive. You know, how much time we have to do it. Okay, so the untrustworthy lord of death, that is anthropomorphizing death. There's not a real lord of death. Waits not for things to be done or undone. Whether I am sick or healthy, this fleeting lifespan is unstable. And it's true. We feel like we're going to live forever. Do we have any guarantee that we're not going to die today? No. Leaving all, I must depart alone. But through not having understood this, I committed various kinds of negativity for the sake of my friends and foes. Yeah? So to get things for my friends, I have lied, I have stolen, and so forth. To harm my enemies, you know, I've killed them or harmed them physically, or spoken harsh words, or divided friends. I've had a lot of malicious thoughts. So for the sake of my friends and my foes, you know, then I've created a lot of negativity myself. But for what value? What purpose? Okay. At my first Dharma course, the teacher pointed out that helping our friends and harming our enemies has no distinctive value of being a human being. Because even dogs help their friends and harm their enemies. Yeah? So there's nothing special, exalted about doing that. Okay? If we want to really use our human potential, we have to turn that around and want to benefit all beings in the long term. But my foes will become nothing. My foes will all die. Why am I harming people who are going to die? My friends will become nothing. They also will die. Why am I creating so much negativity to benefit them? I too will become nothing. I'm going to die. And I can't take my friends or my foes with me. All I take with me is the seeds of my actions, my karmic seeds, you know, my mental habits. That's going to come with me. Not the friends, not the foes, not the possessions, not the good reputation, not all the ego-pleasing words. Yeah, all that's going to stay here. Yeah. So it's kind of funny how people, you know, plan their funerals, and, you know, we have big funerals for some people, and everybody, you know, you get a very special coffin that costs a ton of money and decorated so beautifully, and we think, oh, when I die, I'm going to lay there, and everything's going to be so beautiful, and then everybody's going to stand around, and they're going to all appreciate my good qualities, and all the people who harm me are going to feel so guilty, and they're going to recognize how wonderful I was after all. And we have this vision of our, you know, our death and our funeral. But you know what? We're not going to be around to enjoy our funeral. Yeah, we're going to be in our next rebirth, undergoing who knows what. And our next rebirth is going to be influenced by the actions that we do now. Yeah. So why are we dreaming about some fantastic funeral where all of a sudden everybody's going to love us because we're dead? Weird, isn't it? Just like a dream experience, whatever things I enjoy will become a memory. Whatever has passed will not be seen again. Yeah. So you're left just with your photos. Yeah. You may have thumb drives full of photos. You may have, you know, my parents had these little things, and you know, they're digital, and they put one photo after another after another. And you can have your whole life digitized. They can even make a museum for you after you're dead. And so what? So what? Yeah, just because a bunch of people do all of this, that is not what's going to determine what our future life is going to be. It's going to be our own karma that determines that. Yeah, and this life will be just like a dream. I mean, isn't it now when you think of all the past pleasures you've had? They're all like dreams, aren't they? They aren't happening now. So you dream about them, you build them up. Yeah, we take the past happiness, we build it up, it's just wonderful. Our past suffering, we build that up to how horrible it is. Yeah, we make a drama out of our life, and none of that is happening now. None of it's here now. Yeah, the only moment we have to practice the Dharma is right in this moment, and all of our memories of the past, all of our dreams of the future, they don't count for anything. Okay? Even within this brief life, many friends and foes have passed, but whatever unbearable negativity I committed for them remains ahead of me. So I may have killed to protect the people I love. I may have stolen who knows what. Yeah, all that is behind me. The results of my own actions is in front of me. Thereby, through not having realized that I shall suddenly vanish, I committed so much negativity out of ignorance, attachment, and hate. And that's sad, isn't it? When we look at our lives and we see the amount of energy we've put into ignorance, attachment, and anger, we really feel how sad that is, how much of our human potential has gone untapped and ignored. So Shantideva's telling us all this so that we can start doing something now to turn it around. Remaining neither day nor night, life is always slipping by and never getting any longer. Why will death not come to one like me? So why do I feel like somehow I'm not going to die? Yeah. Everybody who dies today woke up this morning thinking, I'm not going to die today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after that, even those people who are terminally ill in palliative care. It's not today. But yeah, some of them will die today. And we may be among them. While I am lying in bed, although surrounded by my friends and relatives, the feeling of life being severed will be experienced by me alone. When seized by the messengers of death, what benefit will friends and relatives afford? My merit alone shall protect me then, but upon that I have never relied. So when I'm dying, the whole family may be around, holding my hand, stroking my arm, saying, I love you so much, don't leave. Is there a choice at that moment? No. Yeah, death is there. We gotta go. And our friends and relatives can't do anything for us. Yeah, our Dharma practice can benefit us. Our store of merit can benefit us. All the purification we have done can benefit us. Our habituation with bodhicitta and all the bodhisattva practices can benefit us. But everything that we've spent so much of our life's energy on at the moment of death is of no benefit. Okay? So Shantideva's telling us this so that we can really steer our life in the right direction while we have the opportunity.